Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you will direct our thoughts, our hearts, direct our minds, Lord, and make them in tune with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a text, and I'm going to start by, I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to talk a little bit more. It's mainly because, I'll be quite honest, because it can't link the two otherwise very easily, so I thought we'd stop and sing a song. One of my favourite verses, probably, in one of my favourite books, and this is Mark chapter 5, and going from halfway through, lost it. Yeah, going from verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boats to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." To be continued. I was pondering about remembrance. Very difficult. Very difficult to do the speaking on remembrance, I always find. And I just have some little thoughts. I remember, and we were talking before the service, and each of us really has known people who have fought in either of the big wars, and which I'd call the First World War and the Second World War. Steve was saying, was his grandfather, was a hero in the First World War. I don't have many of those. My grandfather had something. He had bronchitis or something, so he didn't go. Got Morris. Morris, you were involved in one way or another, weren't you? In the army.
National service.
Morris was in the army, and that was a battle because we were sorting things out. My father was in Malaya, as it was called. All of us have been involved with people who have fought one way or another, or been in. And I think John was in Burma, was he not? He was somewhere. Where was he? North Africa. Yeah, and we all know people, but those people are, you know, they're getting fewer and fewer from the major wars, and now it's people who've been involved in, as Steve was saying, in the local, and the kind of minor non-world wars. I remember a man. I was working in hospital. I was a porter, and he was 96, and he had been shot. That's not why he was in hospital. He'd been shot in the Battle of the Somme. And he, a very proud figure, 96 he was. And you always know when you work in hospital because they have the date of birth above the bed. 96 he was, and he said he'd been shot and in the Somme. And he was quite old to be in the Battle of the Somme, really. He was in his late 20s, so he wasn't a young man. Could have been a lot younger. Steve's granddad had told lies about his age, and so he was much younger. This man was 26, I think. My mum had an uncle who'd been gassed and was never the same again. And many, many men died on both sides of being gassed. There was another uncle of my mother's who had a hook instead of a hand. He'd lost his hand in the First World War. Many people affected by wars, and many people today. But fewer and those are disappearing rapidly. All those people I've mentioned must have. I don't know that. I think the 96-year-old man 33 years ago must have died. He might be the oldest man in the world if he didn't. It's very old. But everyone fades away. That those wonderful verses from Isaiah, we're like grass. We wither, we fade, we disappear. Peter repeats that. All flesh is as grass, and it withers and disappears. It's nothing. Your flesh, your life on earth is as nothing. And yet we need to remember people. We need to remember people who've gone before us. And I have done many remembrance things on a war memorial in autumn, where you look down on all the people underneath and you're miles up in the air. It's usually freezing cold. And then someone played the last post. And I remember a lot of the people who were involved in organising, a lot of them have died now. And that was only 20-something years ago. We need to remember these people. We need to remember them. But it goes straight to the main point, which is the fact that this is about the cross. This is what Jesus died for. And I think Val linking the cross with remembrance is exactly right. The poppy on a cross. Steve's little montage has got the poppies on crosses. Yes, that's what we stick in the ground, and they've got a point. But it's the cross that's important. Jesus has died for all these people. And it's the cross, really, that is the source of our life, our forgiveness, and our new life in Jesus Christ. I'm going to sing in a minute. But a lot of those people died without having the opportunity to hear the gospel. A lot of them died before they had a chance to receive Jesus as their saviour, which is tragic. My own guy, I just remembered now, John Fleet. All the Fleets come from a village in Cheshire. That's where the Fleets come from, called Chrisleton, near Chester. And we went along a couple of years ago and went to the church. And of course, the church is full of Fleets on the walls. They don't actually live there anymore. And the guy in the war memorial, John Fleet, 1916, he was shot in the Somme. He died on the 3rd of July, just a few days after being shot. The first man in the village to volunteer. He'd been a footballer, an athletic man. Again, he wasn't particularly young, he was 26. And he's there. And as a relative, as a distant relative, it's really very moving. My relative died at 26. And when you're more than twice that age, it's a very poignant thing to see. We photographed gravestones with Fleets on them. And one was John Fleet. Died on the Somme, like so many other men, died almost really pointlessly by being shot and living just a few days later. I really pray that John, who was a member of the church, but then a lot of people were, had had a touch from the King, that he'd received Jesus as Saviour. We're going to sing that now. Just one touch from the King. They need a touch from the King, or they, you know, we pray and we hope that they had that touch. And even now, people are dying. People are dying with guns in their hands that they don't really want. Many people don't want to fight. Many people don't carry guns. The most decorated non-commissioned guy, the First of War, John Coltman. Coltman, he never carried a gun. He got two military medals, Victoria, the whole lot, a whole string of medals going through the door. And he never even carried a gun. And we need to be grateful for them. But it comes down to the cross. This is a woman in this passage, and she suffered for years. And I want to link this, and I've not really done this before, as life and death. She had death. She had a living death. She had an illness that meant that no one would speak to her, that no one could touch her because she was ceremonially unclean. And that's before we think of her actual physical suffering. So no one will have anything to do with her. She's effectively dead, but alive, because she suffers this terrible thing. 12 years, remember the 12. What a miserable life. If only she could touch Jesus. If only Jesus, she thinks, if only I could touch him, it will make all the difference. Okay? And you think of the misery, those 12 years, for all she knows, it's the rest of her life. 12 years of misery, 12 years of death. And then Jesus, and it's amazing how this is sort of interwoven, he's on his way to heal a girl. How old's a girl? 12 years. Significance of 12. This 12-year-old girl hasn't had 12 years of misery. She's had 12 years of childhood. And now she's dead. Now she's died. So life to death. The woman who's going to be healed on the way, death to life. I think that's really significant. I don't think anything is accidental in the Bible. The girl was 12 years old. Jesus healed her, brought her back to life. She had life, death, life. The woman had 12 years of misery, as an adult woman, I'm guessing. And then she had life, death to life. Just read the end of this passage. Mark 5:35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came to him from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up, looked around, and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. I told her to give her them to give her something to eat. Just the most amazing story. In the middle of it, he's just healed a woman who 12 years of death and misery to the rest of her life, of life, and people can talk to her and people can touch her. She's no longer unclean. Little girl, 12 years of happy life, I'm guessing. She dies, and then she's got the whole life ahead of her. And notice also, we can overlook it, he took her by the hand. He touched the girl. He held her hand. And when you get a little child, you look forward to this, at some stage the child will hold your hand, and they only have to hold a finger because they've got tiny little hands. And little Jacob will hold my finger now. He loves his grandpa. I don't know why, but he throws himself on me. I don't know why. And getting that love from a child, but getting the touch, the little child will touch you, and you've had the experience of holding a little child's hand, and their own little hands, and I can see Tom's hand in my hand now. Tom's hand's like a spade now, but I can remember him putting his hand in mine. And Jesus took the little girl by the hand. The woman touched her hand on Jesus' cloak. Jesus took the hand of the child. You see how there's no coincidence, there's no accident here. This is all deliberate. The woman put a hand on Jesus' cloak. Jesus put his hand in the hand of the little girl. Get up. Life-giving by touching, life-giving by touching. 12 years of misery and death, 12 years of life, death, and then more life. It all kind of fits in there beautifully. Jesus, I truly believe, and today's been great because we've had something that's awful, all these people dying. And I've always been interested in the First World War. It's a subject of mine. And the Second World War, interestingly. Thousands, 25, by this time on the first day of the Somme, 25,000 men had been killed. By this, just a few hours. Absolutely dreadful. And we can't imagine it. I hope you can't. You've never experienced anything like that. 25,000 people dead, many more injured, just in those first couple of hours. Jesus is the Lord of life, and he knows about that. And this all needs to be put in that context. War is a necessary evil. No one will say war is good. I think people who do are completely out of kilter. War is bad. People suffer. People kill each other. It's bad, but Jesus is the Lord of life and death. When we look at this passage, look at it again sometime. Just see that, see those images. The 12 years of awful suffering. I can't imagine that, but it must be awful. 12 years of awful suffering, like a death, because no one will talk to you, no one will touch you, no one will eat off the same table as you. And then she's brought to life. Imagine that difference. She's brought to life. She knows the life. Life has come to her because she trusted in Jesus Christ. The little girl, 12 years of childhood, then she dies. I'm not really told why. She dies. She's dead. You know, it's not just that he makes her better. He brings her back to life. He's given her life. Get up, little girl. Holds her hand. Just as a woman touched the cloak of Jesus, Jesus touches the child. Brilliant. Brilliant work of the Lord. This is not fiction. This is truth. You can't write this stuff. You would never get away with it. Three things to think about, and I'm going to be quick. Just as a woman touched the cloak with his hand, and just as Jesus took the hand of the girl, we need to put ourselves in the hands of God. And I don't know about you, I'm awful at it. I tend to try and do my own thing more than, I'll be honest. We need to put our hands in the hand of God. I don't know what's going on. I was reflecting in the week, I think it was Paul, with Paul. We can't write this, what's going to happen in our lives. We cannot write what's going to happen. If you started, as soon as you could start thinking things and said, what's going to happen in my life? So I'm going to live to 90. What's going to happen in 90 years? You could make a few guesses. You may even get some things right. But you cannot write the script that God has for your life. We need to put our hands in the hands of God. We need to touch his cloak. We need to get there so that God is directing our life. Even if we think we're in charge, we're not. God is in charge. I lost a job in Etwall. Oh, it's dreadful. They just say, we don't want you next week. And you can't do anything about it. You don't have a contract, so they're not breaking anything. But I've got a better job. In fact, I didn't realise at the time. I've got a better job that actually goes on for longer and pays me more, but it starts after Christmas. But on balance, it's a better job. God had that in mind. I didn't. I could never have worked it out. Put our hands in the hand of God. Accept this touch from the King. Many, many people are resisting the touch of Jesus Christ. We need to accept the touch from the King and encourage other people to get that. Either touch his cloak or get him to put his hand in yours or put your hand in his. This touch, Jesus Christ's touch, and touch has been so important. When people have touched the bones of saints, when people have touched some of the Celtic saints that we had hundreds of years ago, they were healed. There's something amazing about the touch. Touch. Accept a touch from Jesus Christ. Whether it's a cloak, whether it's a hand, we just accept God in our lives. Accept, Jesus, I want you to touch my life, please. And then we need to live the kingdom life. The kingdom of God. It's not one we have to fight for. It's not one we have to take up arms and shoot people for. The kingdom of God has come in. It's coming in now. It's now and it will be. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm so grateful, Val, that you linked the cross with remembrance. It's so vital because it is literally crucial. It's crucial. It's about the cross. And we need to live the kingdom life. There's no more to say, but we need to accept the touch from the King, put ourselves in the hand of God, and accept the life that he gives us. Amen.